So we are going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and I would like to read from verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Galatian believers, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. The apostle has been emphasizing love, and he calls the Galatian believers to Christian service. So he's making a contrast between the works of the law, which demand certain obediences, certain conduct, and Christian service, which is motivated by love. Christian service, which is founded upon love and fueled by spiritual life and a desire to honour the Lord Jesus Christ. Love to our neighbour, he calls it, especially love towards our brothers and sisters in the faith, exercising care and concern and support for one another. And that is a better expression of obedience to God than all the demands and all the rigours of the law could ever muster. And this leads the apostle to expand in the verses that we've read on the two natures found in every regenerate sinner. There is the nature of flesh, with which every person is born into the world, and this nature suffers from the effects of the fall and is the Adam nature that is opposed to God and which strives always to indulge and satisfy the lusts of the flesh. It's called elsewhere our carnal nature, or the carnal man, or the old man. So that is one of the two natures that we find in every regenerate sinner, and it comes to us by nature as we come into this world. And then there is a new nature. This is the effect of regeneration in the soul of one of the Lord's people. There is the new nature, or the spiritual nature, with which regenerate men and women are born again by the quickening work of God the Holy Spirit. And this nature is divinely created. And like everything created by God, it is perfect, It is holy and it is without sin. It is a new creation and it strives to honour God. It hungers and thirsts after righteousness and it holds Christ's example as the pattern that it seeks always to emulate and to follow. And the new creation desires to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Indeed, it is predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is our spiritual nature, or it is the new man. Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. So we have these two natures, and this is what the apostle is referring to here. The old man of flesh is the motivating source of all evil, though that is not to say that every form of wickedness is present in every case to its fullest degree. We're not saying that. We're not saying that every individual is as wicked as they could possibly be with every sin. But it is nevertheless the motivating source of all evil in the human being. And then there is the new man of the Spirit. In the motivating source, it is the motivating source of all good by which the indwelling righteousness and goodness of God is manifested in a believer's life. These two natures coexisting. In our opening verse, verse 16 of the passage that we read together, the apostle calls the Galatians to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here we see the apostle setting up a confrontation here, or an opposition. It's an opposition that he sets up between the old nature, the flesh nature, and the new nature, the spirit nature, in which these two natures are antagonists whose opposition results in an ongoing conflict in every believer. So that Paul tells us the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So this is like an opposition, a confrontation, a battle, if you like. And it helps to explain the internal struggle that all believers feel. There's a battle going on in our hearts, in our souls. Our flesh, the natural man, the old man, the Adam nature, wants to run to evil, while our spirit wishes to honour God. Furthermore, the flesh prevents the spirit from doing the good that the spirit wants to do. And the spirit prevents the flesh from having full reign to do what it wants to do. And Paul elsewhere makes this point. He says, ye cannot do the things that ye would. Or he says it here. Ye cannot do the things that ye would. So that's just the nature of this battle. This engagement is taking place, and we cannot do the things that we would. But can I show you something which I think is very interesting? That little phrase cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. That is, neither nature can do the things that it would. The evil nature is prevented. The evil nature is hobbled by the holy nature, and the holy nature is thwarted by the nature of flesh. And actually, I think that this is an important point. It's something that, pastorally, we should all remember. as believers, we often feel unworthy. We often feel deserving of no benefits, no blessings, an undeserving people, even ashamed because of our residual sinful nature and the sin that persists in our lives. And we question ourselves. We question ourselves. We say, if I were a believer, if I were a true believer, would I do these things? Would I think these things? Would I say these things? Would I feel like this inside me? This gloom, this darkness, this oppression that so often seems to invade my life. Let us not ignore the other side of that as well. We should not ignore the victories gained by the Spirit over the flesh. Our reaction, these questions are often asked in the context of what we feel are victories of the flesh over the Spirit. But there are also victories that the Spirit gains over the flesh. If you think that your new man is having a hard time, just think what the old man is going through. And this is a conflict that affects every believer's life. It creates a battlefield upon which two evenly matched foes contend the one with the other. There's a back and a forth as one nature gains a bit of ground and then the other. The old man is weakening. The old man will not win. But all that means is that in the meantime, he has to be more devious, more resourceful, so as to better camouflage his attacks to catch us unawares with ambushes in places that we don't expect. The language of the battlefield is the language of our soul. And this imagery is employed by Solomon himself, speaking of the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. A Shulamite is a daughter of Zion. And we've been learning from Isaiah that Zion is a picture of the church. So what he's talking about here is a church member. What he's talking about here is the church of Jesus Christ. And he says of the church of Jesus Christ that there is a company of two armies. In her dwells the company of two armies. And this warfare is the experience of the Lord's people. And Paul says elsewhere, expressing his own personal testimony, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Just lay hold on that, will you? Because I know, looking around here, we're some of the aged members of the Church of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter how old we get in this Christian walk. The reality is, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's the battle that goes on. That's the old man and the new man. But the new man will win, and the old man will be defeated. And Paul encourages the Galatians to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And that shows, again, I think, that he's preaching, he's writing to the Galatians with an assumption that they are alive in Christ. They possess spiritual life, because one cannot walk in the Spirit unless one is alive. One cannot be led by the Spirit unless there is spiritual life. So he's speaking to believers. However, the other interesting meaning context in that little phrase is that he is showing us that we need to be led, because we can't walk by ourselves. We can't maintain a holy supremacy against this enemy, this old man, this old nature, by our own strength. Our natural flesh has strong allies. It is the ally of the world, it has the ally of the devil, with all the temptations that it brings. And as believers, we need to walk in the way of truth. Mm-hmm. We need to walk in the light of the gospel. We need to walk under the guidance of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We need to walk hearing the gospel preached, hearing the word of God, and dwelling, meditating upon these things. Saints, spiritual men and women, learn to do this. Learn to walk by the Spirit. Learn to be led by the Spirit by viewing the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and following his pattern. Hearing and applying the gospel of grace, learning Christ and following the teachings of the apostles. Mm-hmm. And the fruit that is produced under this spiritual leading, the fruit that's produced by the gospel's example to us, isn't prompted by the law of Moses. The law of Moses isn't featuring in this at all. If Paul had been trying to teach these people to be obedient according to the law of Moses, he had plenty opportunity to do it in a passage like this. But that's not what he's doing. This fruit is inspired by the obedience of Christ. The Judaizers were imposing the wrong rule and the wrong standard. They were trying to lay a yoke that was designed for the wickedness of the old natural man upon the shoulders of new spiritual men and women. Men and women who had already slipped out from under Moses' yoke and put on Christ's yoke, finding it a light and easy yoke to bear. Which is why the Apostle Paul couldn't understand why the Galatians were being so foolish as to go back under the yoke of Moses' law. Let me make a quick point about the words that the Apostle uses here, because I think it helps to give some honour to the Lord, to whom it is due, which should always be a desire that we have. Paul describes the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. See those two words being used there, work and fruit. The work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The work of the flesh is its output. And it's listed here. The Apostle lists it as a catalogue of offences that are produced because of the lust of fallen nature. But the output that is produced by the Spirit is not called the work of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. So he changes the language there. He changes his vocabulary. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit because that reveals its source to be the grace of God. The true origin of spiritual fruit is the divine act of regeneration in a believer's soul. So, understanding this, we can be regretful for our works while being simultaneously grateful for our fruit. Regretful for our works, grateful for our fruit. Good works are not works of our spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in a believer's life. And the works of the flesh are listed here in these verses. They're said to be manifestations. Manifestations. A manifestation is something that appears. What is it a manifestation of? Manifestations of our sinful nature. And what a list it is. I'm going to say them all again, right? Because the apostle has listed them here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, that's bad temper, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And he says, just in case I haven't picked up anything, and such like. What a list that is. It's almost as if the apostle had swallowed a thesaurus in putting that list together. And what that does is it shows us the broadness of sin. the apostle was in good company. He says that God, or he kind of implies there a reference to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So from the beginning of the word of God right through to the apostolic letters, there is a recognition of the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart of man only evil continually. There is no end to the sinful imagination of man's heart. No end to what can be invented to try to satisfy the lust of our fallen nature. But let us remember, let us be aware, the pleasure of sin lasts only for a season, and the wages of sin is death. We need forgiveness, and if we have forgiveness, then we have the Spirit of life and we are in a new creation. And that is what Paul goes on to speak again about. He says the fruit of the Spirit, which he lists, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These qualities, they cannot be legislated for. You can't command somebody to love you. You can't command someone to have joy. You can't command them to have peace or patience or faith or meekness. They are above the law. The law can't legislate for love or joy or gentleness. These are fruits of an internal disposition arising from the presence of grace in our lives. We love Christ because he first loved us. Lord Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. That's the greatest commandment. And we love him because he first loved us. And here, I think, in conclusion, is the enduring lesson from this passage. And it's this little phrase, that they are Christ's. They that are Christ's. We shall have the victory over the works of the flesh because we are Christ's. We shall have the fruit of the Spirit because we are Christ's. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We bring a fallen, sinful nature. And because we are Christ's, because we are his possession, because we were given to him, because we are the children that the Father gave to the Son, that he might redeem us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, the Holy Spirit, works fruit in the renewed lives of the people of God for the glory of God. The Galatians were Christ's people. Then let them live as such, as the Lord enables. We are Christ's people. We are his possession. Then let us live as such, as he enables. We are Christ's, we are redeemed, we are justified, and soon we will be glorified. Amen. We have no lasting pleasure in sin, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.
Amen.